Well, hello everybody. Hello and welcome to Essex Church, where this community known as Kensington Unitarians meets each week for worship as well as other activities during the week. Welcome to anyone who is new to this place or to a Unitarian community. Welcome to those of you who are here most weeks. Welcome to those who join us from time to time. There is a place here for you, a place to reconnect with parts of yourself, perhaps, or with others at a deeper level, maybe. A space to reconnect with that which is of genuine worth to you, however you might choose to describe that sense of the ultimate, the divine, the God of your hearts and your understanding. So I invite you now to take a conscious breath and to know yourself to be truly here now, whatever journey has brought you here, however you feel in yourself today. Let's be as focused and as present as we can be. Let's let ourselves be, however that is right now. And may all of us find something of that which we are most in need this day during the next hour. May the weary amongst us find some rest. May the troubled find some peace. And may those who feel blessed find new ways to share their good fortune with others. And may we all know today that we are part of something greater than ourselves. Whatever our faith, whatever our beliefs, we are part of the great stream of life itself, moving ever onwards together, weaving together the great tapestry that is life here on this earth. Our chalice is lit, and its simple flame bears witness to the humanity we all share. One people, one planet, one shared life. May we learn to live in harmony. May we widen our circles of compassion, and may we seek to understand. And if you have a look at your order of service, you'll find a pair of praying hands. Very famous engraving by the artist Albrecht Dürer. And who knows if this particular fable has any truth in it whatsoever. It's from way back in the 15th century. Who knows what time has done to this particular story. But I think it is true that in a tiny village somewhere in Germany, there lived a family with 18 children. And that's not an experience many of us know of today, but anybody looking after 18 children would know just what hard work it takes to feed them all. And despite a seemingly helpless situation, two of those children, two brothers, shared a dream to pursue their talent for art. They wanted to be artists, but they knew that their family could not afford to send them to college to study. So the two boys came up with their own solution. They would toss a coin. How many of the world's problems have been resolved successfully by the tossing of coins? The loser was going to work in the nearby mines and support the brother who'd won that toss to attend an art academy. And then, at the end of their studies, they would support the other one to go to the academy. So one brother went to the art school and the other one went down the mines. And after 4 years, the young artist returned to his village and family. There was a triumphant homecoming dinner, and the artist rose from the table to raise a toast to his beloved brother for his years of sacrifice. And his closing words were, "And now, Albert, it's your turn. Now you can go to the academy to pursue your dream, and I am going to support you through my art." But Albert simply cried and held his hands out in front of Albrecht and said, "Look at these hands. They are broken after 4 years of working in the mines. I can hardly hold this wine glass to raise a toast to you, much less to make delicate lines on a canvas. No, no, brother, for me, it is too late." And so it is said that one day, Albrecht Dürer, the famous artist and engraver, drew a picture of these working hands to remember the sacrifice that his brother had made. And lots of us now know this picture as Praying Hands, and it's part of a much bigger study. But perhaps those hands can remind us that actually none of us make it through this life alone. The sacrifices of others help us all along the way. Thank you. And I think our young people are heading off downstairs for a programme more exciting than this one. And we are going to ready ourselves for a time of prayer and reflection. If you have a look at this little hymn sheet insert, throughout Lent and connecting with our month's ministry theme of forgiveness, each week I'm bringing a version of what we know as the Lord's Prayer for us to say together. Now, this is a prayer that some of us will have learnt in childhood. I've sometimes heard it described as the prayer that Jesus taught his followers. And on today's hymn sheet, you'll find a version that has been worked by the Quaker writer, Parker J. Palmer. And if you want to, I invite you to join in saying these words together with me. Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Father, holy and blessed is your true name. We pray for your reign of peace to come, and we pray that our good will be done. Let heaven and earth become one. Give us this day the bread we need. Give it to those who have none. Let forgiveness flow like a river through us, from each one to each one to each one. Lead us to holy innocence beyond the evil of our days. Come swiftly, Mother, Father, come, for yours is the power and the glory and the mercy. Forever your name is all in one. And in the quietness of this time, let us each now find the prayers of our own hearts, particularly our thoughts of concern and compassion towards all those who have lost their lives in the attacks in New Zealand, those who are mourning the death of family members and friends, people who are injured and in hospital, and all those who are caring for them. Our compassion widens outwards to all those who face such violence as an everyday occurrence in war zones the world over. May we as a world community learn more about the roots of hatred, that love and compassion and a knowledge of our shared humanity might replace all violence. And may we attend to the seeds of hatred that lie hidden within many of us. Our thoughts that we are right and others wrong. Our hidden yearnings for vengeance. Our lack of understanding of ideas that others hold dear. We who would be peacemakers, justice bringers, may we act always for the greater good of all. And may this be so this day and all days. Amen.
This is called All This Talk of Saving Souls, and it's a reading by Linda M. Underwood. It's a quirky take on the idea of soul saving, and its imagery is so rich that we thought it was worth you having a copy, so it's on your insert that you have in your hymn book today. You can take it with you and read it later. All this talk of saving souls. Souls weren't made to save, like Sunday clothes that give out at the seams. They're made for wear. They come with lifetime guarantees. Don't save your soul. Pour it out like rain on cracked, parched earth. Give your soul away, or pass it like a candle flame. Sing it out, or laugh it up in the wind. Souls were made for hearing breaking hearts, for puzzling dreams, for remembering August flowers, forgetting hurts. Those who talk of saving souls, they have the look of bullies who blow out candles before you sing happy birthday and want the world to be in alphabetical order. I will spend my soul playing it out like sticky string into the world so I can catch every last thing I touch. Thank you.
With that beautiful music still with us, let's move now into a time of meditation. There'll be a short spoken meditation to lead us into a good few minutes of shared stillness and silence together. And in this time, I invite you, if you wish, to think about the spring equinox, which will be with us on Wednesday evening. This is the time when day and night are of equal length in these northern lands. And the spring equinox, and indeed the autumn equinox, are a time when we might want to think of rebalancing ourselves and our world, with that idea that balance is never a static state. Just like riding a bicycle, you constantly have to move to retain a sense of balance in this world. And perhaps that's what's called for from us when times are difficult. How can we find our still centre, our sense of balance, when times are turbulent? So let's steady ourselves now and be aware of yourself sitting, feet on the floor. The London streets busy outside, but there being stillness here. Allowing the gentle rhythm of our breathing to take us to whatever steady state we can find within ourselves. How shall we find balance for ourselves and for our world? This word redemption is a serious one, so forgive me for starting in a frivolous manner, and not just a frivolous manner, but an ageist one too, and not just ageist and frivolous, but also probably only relevant to people from Britain and from the United States. If I say the words green shield stamps, can we have a show of hands of those who have a clue? Oh, no, look, that shows something about our age demographics, etc. For those of you who are a little younger, what you need to know is that green shield stamps were trading stamps, and they were given to shoppers when they spent money in shops. They were much desired by some of us in the 60s and 70s because you were given these little green stamps and then you stuck them in a book, and when you had enough of the books, and here's the tenuous point of all this, you could redeem them for a gift of crockery perhaps, or anything that took your fancy in the Green Shield stamp catalogue, oft looked through in my youth. And that word, redeem, was in the instructions at the back of the Green Shield stamp collection book, and it meant that I learned one meaning of redemption very early on. Redemption can involve a transaction of some kind, when something is given in order to receive something else. In the Old Testament, redemption often refers to the act of being freed from slavery, a payment being made for one's freedom. And then in Christian theology, redemption refers to the sacrifice of Jesus' life through his death on the cross, redeeming humanity from our inherent sinfulness. And this is a theology of great comfort to many I know, but it's not a belief that I'm particularly at ease with. A bit like Susan Underwood, whose reading we heard earlier on, I don't really think that our souls need saving. I don't think humanity is inherently bad. Though sometimes, oh blimey, sometimes do you, as I do, sometimes find yourself despairing of us humans and our foolishness and our folly. This week in world news has been no exception to that, has it? Our human world is a troubled and a troubling one. And yet our human lives, they're also filled with altruism, with beauty, compassion and courage. As that terrible news unfolded of the cowardly attack on the two mosques in New Zealand in the town of Christchurch, the horror of that action was counterbalanced by stories of bravery, of self-sacrifice, of people trying to work together to make amends, to send another message out there, a message of love, a message we hope is stronger than the misguided and twisted hatred that lies at the root of any such act of violence. The toughest times in our individual and in our collective lives can bring out something greater in humanity. Nothing we can do can right the wrongs that have been committed, but we can help humanity to move forwards rather than backwards. We can resist all temptation to match hatred with hatred. But the desire for vengeance is very strong, isn't it, when wrongs have been so clearly committed. You might like to look at the quotation that we've used on the front of today's order of service. These are words from the progressive theologian Walter Winks, and they are not easy words to understand. He writes that the myth of redemptive violence is the simplest, the laziest, the most exciting, uncomplicated, irrational, and primitive depiction of evil the world has ever known. Well, we could write an essay on that one, couldn't we? Strong words. Yet think of the battles being waged around our planet and how often they are justified by a desire for vengeance. And can we look within ourselves and find similar impulses in response to perceived wrongs and injustices? These kinds of impulses, I think, are these impulses towards vengeance. They're better acknowledged than denied, because they do exist. And redemption may come for us through learning and growing, through deepening our understanding of our own primitive and powerful impulses, that we might better then comprehend such impulses in others. An important aspect of a liberal faith for me is the idea that we all have the potential for redemption, and that we must hold fast to that potential in the face of great wrongs, even when we know that such wrongs cannot be made right, that irreparable damage has been done. Can we hold wrongdoers in compassion, even as we condemn their actions and the twisted thinking that has led to their behaviour? We sang a line in that last hymn, for the line goes, "For just and unjust, a place at the table, abuser abused, with needs to forgive." Well, I support the idea of making space at the table for everyone as an ideal, But then I fundamentally disagree that those who have been abused by the behaviours of others have a need to forgive. Well, that is their choice, surely, and their choice alone. But I am inspired by the work of restorative justice schemes that bring offenders and those they have harmed together so that they can hear one another's stories and so that offenders might have a chance to make amends. So I wonder about you and I wonder about what ways you have felt redeemed in life, or using other words, what has saved you? What has lifted you when you were at your lowest? What has turned your thinking around when you felt trapped by your own mind? Various people this week have mentioned various ways that they felt lifted in the face of life's challenges. I was particularly pleased that, Benji, you were going to be playing these clarinet pieces today, because so many people I know are lifted by music, that there is something about music's ability to transcend the state that we find ourselves in. Other people have spoken to me about the power of the natural world and how a simple walk outdoors reminds them once again that this is a beautiful world despite everything. Some people know that they've been redeemed by the care of others, by friends and family members who stood by them and encouraged them perhaps to move on, to work through difficulties, holding the vision for another that life could be better, a time when they could see no way forward. And I know people who've been saved by their own efforts, who took a stand for themselves and determined to turn their lives around, using all the resources they had. And I know people who've acknowledged their own powerlessness and sought the assistance of a higher power to help them through. So in our world of great foolishness and great beauty, let us be inspired by all those who seek to make things better in their own lives, in the lives of others, and in the life of our wider world. I really think it's a worthy enterprise. Amen. Marcia Fox writes, "It is ours to praise the beauty of the world, even as we discern the torn world. For nothing is whole that has not first rent and out of the torn made whole again. May we live with promise in creation's lap, redemption budding in our hands." And so let us live in peace with ourselves, with one another, and with this wondrously diverse world of ours, with all its problems and its perils, yet so very beautiful and so very precious. May we indeed live with promise in creation's lap, redemption budding in our hands. Amen. Go well, blessed be.